pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your word, for it does share with us your wisdom, your truth. And we pray that we will hear it, that we will recognize it for what it is, that which can guide us and lead us to you. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Another person wrote, "One of the many different jobs I had to pay my way through school was as a delivery boy for a florist. I'll never forget my first delivery to a mortuary. I took the bouquet to the reception desk and asked where to put it. I was told to set it beside the casket in the third slumber room on my left. What do I do with this boutonniere?" I asked. The lady smiled and answered, "Put it on the man's lapel." I gulped. I hadn't been around any dead people before. I cautiously made my way down the hall, opened the third door to my left, and stepped inside. Sure enough, there was a man lying in a casket, and I placed the floral display beside the casket. I took a deep breath, leaned over the casket, and placed the boutonniere on the man's lapel. As I did so, he opened his eyes and said, "Thanks, bud." I nearly died. I learned later that one of my friends back at the florist shop had phoned ahead and explained that I was a new driver and asked that I be given the full treatment. After I got over the initial shock and began to think about it, I wondered, why had I been so scared? And it hit me. Dead men don't talk. Okay. Dead men don't talk. That's not exactly an earth-shattering statement. Yet, on another level, there's some truth to that statement that many people don't understand. Today, in all three of our passages, we hear something about talking, or in church speak, witnessing. Now, the Proverbs passage does not talk about speaking per se, but it does talk about the knowledge of God's wisdom being given to us. And we don't listen, we don't understand. And I'll come back to Proverbs later. The author of James talks about good things coming out of one's mouth. Now, we can interpret it as our need to speak the truth about life and about God, about sharing what we know about God. And in Mark, we hear that worrisome pronouncement. "Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." We are challenged today to think and to share the wisdom of Christ with others. As you can tell, today I'm talking about evangelism. But I want to talk about it in a different way than perhaps we normally think about it. Often when we think of evangelism, we Presbyterians tend to think, and I think most Christians, tend to think of it as asking others if they're saved, and if they're not, then telling them to find salvation in Jesus Christ. That is a form of evangelism, an important form. But that form is mainly exhibited by those of the evangelical persuasion, although I did hear that in 1980 a Gallup poll indicated that out of all evangelical American believers, only 2% had introduced another person to Christ. So even evangelicals have to work at it. But that doesn't let us off the hook. If we have trouble thinking about going up to somebody and saying, "Are you saved?" that still doesn't let us off the hook. We Presbyterians, as I was recently reminded, we frozen chosen, we need to find ways to talk about God, to do evangelism. Now, in our passage today and a number of other passages in the Gospels, we hear Jesus heal someone or say something to someone, but then tell people, tell them not to tell anybody what had happened. And sometimes I feel we take that too much to heart. That people are supposed to hear about God and Christ through some kind of spiritual osmosis. That injunction was only for those that Jesus was speaking to. It does not apply to us today. Today we are to talk about our faith. We are to speak in streams of living waters to those around us. And the way that we can do that is to be honest about not only living our faith, but speaking about it as well. We can tell people why we do the things we do, or say the things we say. Perhaps you're standing in the line at the grocery store and you've got a whole bunch of those eco-friendly cloth grocery bags. And somebody says, "Why do you use those? Because the plastic bags come free." And we, on the one hand, we can say, "Well, I do it because I'm living out my faith in God. I believe that God wants me to be a good steward of the earth." Or we can say, "Because it's the right thing to do. And besides, I get 5 cents off every time I use one." Now, which one of those is evangelism? Which one of those is witnessing? When someone accuses you of something you did, but you didn't do, you can write them off, or you can nicely correct them and say, "Because my faith tells me that I am to love others and forgive them, I will not let this come between us." That's evangelism. That's witnessing. There are a number of ways that we can witness to our faith and trust in God. Now, some of you may be saying that you don't know what you believe about God, what God wants you to do in your daily life. That's where we come back to Proverbs. We are given wisdom. We are given the truth. And it's in that book in your pew that says Holy Bible on it. It's the unique and authoritative witness to the work of God in the world. We have to study that word. We have to dialogue with God and with each other about that word to understand what we believe. Your Christian Education Committee has worked hard to not only provide educational opportunities for children and youth, and we've got a wonderful program, but they've also worked hard in coming up with opportunities for you, the adults, to discern God's truth for you, to understand your relationship with God. We have set once a month classes on the third Tuesday of the month at 7:30 p.m. As I said earlier, the first one is this Tuesday, and its topic is Facing the Empty Nest. And it's not just about kids going away to college or moving away, but it's about any time we lose someone temporarily or forever. What does our Bible have to say to us about those kinds of times in our life? And that's what we're going to be talking about. We also offer opportunities on the fourth Sunday of the month where we can gather before church and talk about some topic for an hour before church starts. On the fifth Tuesday, which happens about 4 times this year, we will join with our brothers and sisters from Trinity United in Myersville and study a topic. And there will be other opportunities for you to gather and search for understanding. You may suggest some to me or to members of the Education Committee. Next week after church, we have the one of what's our singing mean in worship? Why do we sing in worship? Each of you has a faith. Each of you has experiences of God in your life that you can share with others. Howard Hendricks, a one-time professor at Dallas Seminary, once said, "In the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering." Jesus warns us we cannot hold back. We have been given a mission to tell. We have each been given a truth to share. And as I said, that truth is often found in the story of our relationship with God throughout our life. It's found in how we have experienced God. We can talk about being out in the world and seeing the beauty of creation and being reminded of God creating this wonderful world for us and telling that to others. A devotional once told the story of the late T.H. Huxley, a famous English biologist as well as a well-known agnostic. Huxley was with a group of men at a weekend house party. And on Sunday morning, while most of them were preparing to go to church, he approached a man known for his Christian character and said, "Suppose you stay at home and tell me why you are a Christian." The man, knowing he couldn't match wits with Huxley, hesitated. But the agnostic said gently, "Now, I'm not going to argue with you. I just want you to tell me simply what Christ means to you. Tell me simply what Christ means to you." And the man did. And when he finished, there were tears in Huxley's eyes as he said, "I would give my right hand if only I could believe that." Just telling our story, telling what we believe and know about Christ, how Christ has affected us, touched us, is enough to move people. People with serious doubts to think about God and their relationship with God. Each of us has the power to do that in some way. And so what we're being asked today, can we just find our voice and do it? When we don't share our faith, we're like dead people who don't talk. Our faith isn't doing anything for anybody else, just ourselves. But if we share our faith, if we talk to people about what God or what Christ means to us, how we experience the work of the Spirit in our lives, then our faith comes alive. It grows. And we do it not just so we can have more members in church. That's not what it's about. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but that's not what it's about. We do it so our faith is stronger. We do it because God wants us to do it. Christ told us to do it. So please, let's just find our voice and do it.